This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. Parental discretion is advised.
Here we go, Barflies. Welcome to the Barfly Tailgate Show. It's done by Barflies, for Barflies, and all the other Bears fans out there. Well, hey, at least we're 1-1 now. You know what I mean? It was a little on edge, nerves. Damn, even some people gave up on the Bears that last couple minutes there. And I was pissed in one of our chats. But we got this thing coming at you today. We're going to recap a little bit of that game there, and then we're going to roll into the Washington game. We got a special guest coming in the house tonight. We got the jersey to give away because Max got his sack. Before we get any of that started, let me introduce the boys I got rolling with me today. First, we got Mr. Ryan Kirkland Billings, KB. Rye, what's up, brother?
What's going on, fellas? Man, it's been a hell of a week, man. We got a couple more days so we can actually sit and watch Bears football, man. Got to be excited about the 1-1 and having the kicker.
Yeah, hopefully having him for a little longer. I mean, this dude's in the weight room fucking himself up. Next one we got is AC Aaron Curran. He's going to give us that Kentucky weather. AC, what up, though?
What's going on, fellas? It's hot as hell still down here in Kentucky. I'm ready for September to bring its ass on. We're going through a drought right now, but that's neither here nor there. Just like the Bears offense, you know, we're droughting. But anyway, I'm here for my therapy session, and I appreciate y'all taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to me today.
Appreciate it, man. And last but not least, we got Mr. Ryan Badgley. Badge of honor. Badge. Man, dude, it's a couple nail biters, man. What's going on?
Yeah, dude. That one this past week, nice to walk out of there with a dub. Certainly not how you want to see it happen, but nice to be able to do it. Happy to be back with you guys to recap it, you know, knowing that we came out of there with a win. And previewing this Monday nighter, man. Excited for everything we got going on tonight. So let's hit it, fellas.
Yeah, for sure, man. Damn. All right, let's roll right into this this little recap. I mean, we've seen a little change to the offense. I wouldn't say that it's that it was anything better, but we at least seen a better game plan coming in. I mean, week one, Trubisky threw 45 passes, you know, and then this last week it was a better spread of everything. So he completed 26 of the 45 passes week one. Week two, he only threw like 26 passes or 27 passes, whatever it was. You guys, we'll start this thing off with you, KB. You think, obviously a better game plan, but there's still something missing, man. I mean, we've only put up a total of 19 points. So what is it with this game plan, and why can't we get in the end zone, brother?
So what I want to start off by saying is with the whole Mitch Trubisky situation, one of the big things that I'm not going to get into, and I hope nobody else does, he's not Patrick Mahomes, people. We would love to see him be Patrick Mahomes, but that's not Trubisky right now. I think that needs to be first said, and I think that needs to be clear. And I also want to say, I believe situation helps to make a player. You look at the situation that he's in. Mahomes has Tyreek Hill, you know, he's hurt now. He's Travis Kelce, probably the best tight end in the league right now. Hell of an O-line. And the biggest thing to me is he has Andy Reid. Matt Nagy isn't Andy Reid, people. And I'm saying this because I feel that our head coach is now putting our quarterback in the best position to win. I don't feel that he does the things that Trubisky's good at. Now, you looked at Trubisky's tape while he's in college. Trubisky ran more of a spread concept. You know, he always had somebody going across the middle that he can hit over the middle. He had dump offs, and I mean, the college Trubisky was taking deep shots. You know, I don't know if it's the formations. I don't know if it's because they're running tight formations and these trio sets and trying to run everything up and it's bunching defense up. If that's what his problem is, but you look over at Dallas and you see what Dallas is doing with Dak Prescott, who's basically the same mold as a Trubisky. It's night and day. they're spreading the field out, and I don't know how the hell anybody would ever have a light box against Ezekiel Elliott. But you kind of see that starting to happen. They have to pay respect to Amari Cooper because he's out there. You got to go out there and guard that man. But they're doing that, and they're doing read options. They're running the ball down people's throats, spreading the field out. Those are the things I'm just seeing. You don't see these things out of the Bears offense because everything has to be cute. And that's where my big issue lies.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, man. I mean, I'd have to get into it more with the Trubisky and Prescott comparison, right? And I know, remember there was this big thing last year, everybody said Trubisky can't throw the deep ball. It's not that the dude can't do it, it's just that he doesn't. It's just not a thing that, I mean, we've seen over the last couple seasons, it's not a thing where he just rips one deep and tries to back people off. I don't know if it's a coaching thing or if it's a, maybe he just doesn't like, he would rather be methodical and move it downfield. I don't know which one it is. I don't know if there's too many weapons for Nagy. I think Patrick Mahomes, I know you already said him, but with Mahomes, I don't think it's a playmaker thing. Like, well, Mahomes has got this playmaker, that playmaker. I think it's like the kids, he's starting to prove that he's going to do it without playmakers also. I agree with you on the whole comparison thing. Like, it doesn't matter who you compare the dude to. He's who we have at quarterback right now. I think he's, you know, really got a hurt. It's lacking a lot of confidence right now. But I think a lot of that's what Nagy's scheming towards him. AC, what about you, man? What do you feel about this last game? And although it's a little, he got the win, didn't throw a pick. I think he only had like 130 yards passing. But what do you think about Trubisky and his confidence level, and what's it going to take? Or is this the week that he's going to, come out and fucking destroy everything?
Well, considering Drew Brees was my starting quarterback in my fantasy league, and now I need Trubisky to try and tear it up a little bit on Monday to get me some points. But the offense overall, I was glad to see them actually trying to run the ball some. But other than that one throw to Allen Robinson, I didn't see much out of Trubisky that I liked. He tried to throw some deep, and I feel like he goes too deep. I don't understand. I don't know what causes that. I'm not a quarterback, and I've never been a quarterback whisperer. But he needs to rein it in a little bit. I feel like he overthrows on the deep ball so much. The defense played great. They got tired at the end, obviously, of Khalil Mack pulling himself out on fourth down. He's worn the hell out, period. And I know Phil didn't like it, but I didn't have an issue with calling a timeout to get Mack back on the field. But what I did notice, or I feel like I noticed, the two-point conversion that they ran looked really similar to what the Philadelphia Eagles ran against us last year to end our season. Yep. And I didn't hear anybody say anything about that, and I was –
I'd like to point out that was your Pro Bowl corner in coverage on that as well.
Well, he did play good coverage. That's a hard.
I don't discount that. I don't discount that by any means. But to me, I'm sorry. See, I'll let you finish, bro.
No, it's cool. Go ahead, man. It's an open floor. McManus got shit on for it last year, and we see how hard it is when even our best corner struggles with that, covering that route, especially with Emmanuel Sanders. That motherfucker's just a bad motherfucker. I mean, he made Joe Flacco look like the playoff Joe Flacco. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, I think them going for two right there, though, shows – like, I know we put it in a thing, but Vic is not afraid. It was a ballsy move. It was, go for two, and I was like, holy shit, like big dick Vic's coming out here, and he's gonna get Vegas
Vic after that or something.
Yeah, and then goes for the one, then Buster jumps off sides, and then he's back going for the two again. I mean, it was perfect Bears football. It's exactly what
there's so many emotions on the last minute of the game.
I know, man.
Thinking you're gonna win, to thinking you're gonna lose, we got the timeout, and I'm jumping up and down, I'm calling timeout in my living room, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. Me too. Figueroa
and then just fucking nailed it, bro.
Like yelling at Eddie to get, or not Eddie, yelling at AR to get down, no. Get down. I mean, and even, I don't know if, I think, remember last year we were all talking about the scripted plays, right? Like, because the first drives always came out and they were, most of them went for, yeah, most of them went for points. They come down, they just get downfield, and you start off with that lead. I don't know what's missing this year. I don't know if it's, you know, like there's too many weapons. I know that we all said that was one of our strengths at the beginning. And I know like people say, oh, you can never have too many weapons, but I think it's just, there's just too much. Like he doesn't know who to get the ball to. Like Allen Robinson only had 3 catches before that last one, the very last one of the game. Yeah. And the very last one of the game was for like, what, 20 some yards easy.
Yep.
And the dude only had 41 total yards. So if he's your number one, your weapon, like, what are we doing? And I get it. We didn't pass as much as we did the week before. And Montgomery actually got the ball this time and got, you know, I want to say it was 18 or around 18 carries. I'll pull that shit up. But either way.
Yeah, it was 18 carries, 62 yards and a touch.
Yeah. And I mean, I just think that there is no identity to this offense right now. And when you have to come out and start being cute, like we said, and doing these little, you know, gimmicky plays and that, you're not sure of what you're really doing and what your strengths are. Like whatever happened to just being like the black and blue division and coming out and just, I don't care if you know what we're going to do. We're about to fuck you up. Go ahead, man.
And that's what I was going to get into is, you know, it's rare you see Mitch under center. And I know Phil and Shane brought it up on 100 proof about 6 runs from the one out of the shotgun. Yeah. Like you can't get under center and I mean, that's just hypothetically, try a quarterback sneak, but all right, if you don't
Patriots
want to
do it all the time,
absolutely. You don't want to, then put Mitch under center, put a fullback in front of him. Oh, wait, that's right. I forgot. You don't have one unless you count Bradley, however you say his name, Sowell, a fullback. And like, it's just to me, I am not confident in the head coach right now. I don't think he believes in Mitch at all. And that's clearly shown by his play calling over the first 2 weeks of the season. I don't think Mitch is comfortable in himself. And because he doesn't feel the comfortability from his head coach, he's very not himself. Stop with the 101, 202, 690 fucking bullshit. Let's let the kid play football. I don't care if he has to do it using his legs, his arm, his ass. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, he's not using his legs at all this year.
Yeah, like, let the kid just play the game. Like, I thought that's what made, you know, last year to me.
That opens everything up.
Yeah, he had some bumps in the road, you know, the first couple weeks of the season. Then you get to Tampa Bay, week 4. He has a phenomenal game. Phil was there to see it. Eldo was there to see it. Had a phenomenal game against Tampa Bay, you know, and then, you know, he had some decent games, the New England game. I mean, the kid played really well. Then you see that last drive against Philly, the throw to freaking Allen Robinson was fantastic. And, you know, then, you know, we don't need to get into what happened after that, but I thought coming into this season, we got a quarterback and we got a quarterback that, after last year, I mean, oh my gosh, who's going to stop us? And now after 2 weeks, you know, I'm questioning the offense as a whole. You've got so many minds in that room, from Nagy to Helfrich to Childress, you know, stop with the cutesy dootsy shit. I don't care if
listen to Carr's Keys this week.
Yeah.
Talking about in a 3 wide receiver set, you've got Allen Robinson, a legit threat, and then you've got 5'8" Taylor Gabriel and 5'6" Tariq Cohen.
Yeah.
or Shaheen. Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's just
it's 100% right. That's another one, though. They're like, playmakers. I get it. But at the same time, you know,
you got to use them right.
Cordero Patterson.
Right.
Yeah. I'm pretty certain that this offseason, fucking Mazzell moved from running back to wide receiver, not Cohen.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think it's the other. Yeah, you would think it's the other way. I mean, Cohen's not really lining up in the backfield. They do that one pitch to him the opening game where he fumbles, right? First play of the game, fumbles. And then that was, I mean, I don't really remember any other runs for him. I mean, I know there's the one where he ran totally fucking backwards and we lost a bunch of yards.
Oh, God.
But then they turn around, they ran that same play to Patterson.
Yep.
And Patterson fucking breaks it open downfield. I just don't know, like, when do we stop? When are the Nagy excuses stop, right? I mean, Chicago's been a place that's defended the quarterback for years. And, all the way back to – I mean, everybody, man. Everybody. Yeah. There's always been a quarterback thing, and it's always been a defending the quarterback.
Yep.
I mean, last year we said, oh, Jordan Howard doesn't fit the system. Jordan Howard doesn't fit the system. And everybody was, you know, either on board with Howard or off with Howard. And now it's like – and now we're like
– It's the quarterback.
Like, when is it Nagy's fucking fault?
Right.
Yeah, somebody put up a play on Twitter – that showed that we had four, I don't know what down and distance it was, but we had four vertical routes, and the only other person to pass to was Cohen out in the flat. And, you know what I'm saying, that's just not – let's run some crossing routes. We got speed, especially this Monday. I don't want to just jump right into this Monday's game. These dudes got John Bostic starting at middle linebacker. If you can't bring somebody across the fucking middle and give him the rock, you know what I'm saying, against Bostic, then you're not
I was
going to
say, man, the facts are, though, is that the Packers just had fucking Blake Martinez fucking inside linebacker, and we are scheming to take a fucking advantage of it.
Yeah, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we're
exactly
not.
Exactly what they were talking about on 100 Proof. If you watch the Patriots play, they're going to take away your number one guy, and you have to beat them with somebody else. Like with us, when we played them last year, they said, well, we wanted to take away Trubisky's running ability and have him beat us some other way. And they did. Well, Trubisky still had a pretty good game, but you know what I'm saying? That's what the best coaches do. They make you beat them with your second best option. You know what I'm saying? They take away your top option.
And it's a great point, and we have guys that can do that. But it's the route design. It's you're not making it. You're not giving the team like the play that stands out to me, a simple like out route from Taylor Gabriel, almost like a curl to the outside where the defender was behind him. Mitch threw the ball. Gabriel spun off of the defender and was able to pick up a first down. Now, to me, something like that, it's a comfortable throw for Mitch. And Gabriel's the type of guy where he breaks that one tackle. If somebody is coming over, he can make that second guy miss and take it to the house. Those are the type of throws that I think we need to see more of from Mitch. And again, you had the run game. The run game, I thought we ran the ball much better. They really focused on getting the ball to Montgomery. But where was the play action from under center? Like,
exactly.
But you know what I mean? I don't know. I feel like I'm a hypocrite, you know, from saying, you know, the Fox era, oh, we're not throwing enough. And now here, you know,
we're not running enough.
You see it all throughout the league. Every team has balance. You have to have balance, you know, especially at the NFL level. And Nagy and Childress and Helfrich and Ragone and all these other guys, they got to put, you know, the Q plays are fine every once in a while, but it comes a point in time, Jesus Christ, just scheme something to get somebody open for crying out loud, because you're just not seeing that right now.
This
offense is definitely. Offense is definitely severely lacking. We put up a total of 19 points. You know what I mean? And every single one of us in our little game predictions were over 19 points the first game. And now through two games, we've put up a total of 19 points. And it's just, I mean, it's dismal. If we're saying that there's so many weapons in that, and we just can't move the ball downfield. Let me ask you guys this. We're going to have our guest coming in here in a little bit. So we'll get into the Washington thing when he's in. He's a Washington fan, and he's a, you know, a radio personality. But let me, we'll start with KB. KB, 1 to 10, give me your confidence level in Mitch.
I'd have to say about a 6 right now, man, because and it's not even all about Mitch to me. It's kind of playing off the coach.
Well, yeah, that was the next one. It was a 1 to 10 on confidence level in Nagy. But, you know, I just kind of want to see where you guys are with this whole – I mean, granted, I don't think anybody's given up on the kid, right? Nobody's straight like, oh, no, there's no fucking way we need to do this. Like, you've seen some of the – what I forget who it was, but somebody saying that we should pick up Eli Manning and I mean, just dumb shit.
Yeah, somebody said that.
Yeah, but I just kind of wanted to see where everybody's overall confidence level. I guarantee at the beginning of the season, all of us were a 9 or 10 confidence level in Mitch. But I think right now we're kind of, you know, we're getting that Eli Manning face from Mitch, you know, that like, that fluttered confusion face where he's you know, just kind of taking it, man, and getting and not moving the ball downfield. AC, where you at, man? What's your confidence level in Mitch?
I mean, I love Mitch, dude. Honestly, I'm right there with Ryan. I'm going to say about a 6 in my confidence in Mitch. We know he has the ability to succeed, and we know as long as he's put in the right position, he can get us to where we need to be. It's just something's not clicking right now, and I don't know whether it's preseason reps not happening or if it's scheme or if it's just that we played defenses that were better than we thought they were these first 2 weeks. I'm not sure what it is, but I still have confidence in Mitch, and I still think that he can get us there if we can start clicking.
Okay, and I think I know – I mean, I know the answer for Badge. I know he does – so I think we're all still on board with the with Mitch running this offense. Eventually, though,
Nagy, dude.
Yeah,
yeah. My thing is, I don't know if it was because we were on such a high with him last year, you know, and then everything happens in the off season. You get to Bears 100, and you know everybody. You know, it was almost like it was mapped out for everybody to say the right thing and this, that, and the other. And, you know, now you see these press conferences, and Shane brought it up the other day, you know, it's almost predetermined. It's almost like you see Mitch, you see Nagy, you see some of these guys bringing a bottle of water to the press conference that, you know, it's almost like, okay, they have to think about what they're being asked, so they take a drink of water before they respond to the question that's being asked of them, and you know, and whatnot. Now, whether or not that's the case, for us to sit here and try to say it, who knows? But I thought it was a very valid point, and you know, some of this too is, I think, how difficult is the scheme and the play call that's coming in, and how quick is it for Mitch? You know, how quick is Mitch processing it? And I think that has a lot to do with it. You saw in week one a couple of delay of games.
Just
to me, it's, I want to see more from the head coach and the offensive play calling to use our quarterback the way that he's meant to be used. And I feel like last year that was very well. And the decisions, I mean, sure, he made some bad decisions. I get it. People forget the kid played in 13 college games. Yes, it's year 3 in the NFL, but his first year,
John Fox. So yeah, it don't count.
John Fox, Dowell Loggins, Dummy Dowell. I mean, shit, if I had Phil's song, I'd play it right now. But, I don't know. I really hope going into Washington, we see a difference. We see a nice balance. You know, I want to see Montgomery, man. Not just in the run game. I want to see him out in open space, man. And we haven't had the chance to see that yet. You know, this dude, you see the highlight tape of him out of college. I mean, he makes dudes miss. I mean, he did that on the one run.
Led the NCAA in broken tackles.
Yeah, like.
For 2 years.
I mean, I just want to see this dude ball, man. And the coaches need to put these guys in better positions.
I mean, on the opposite side of all this, right? You can't forget every defensive coordinator, every team in the league now has a year of tape on Nagy.
Good point.
I mean, they didn't have that last year. Yeah. And this year, everybody's got a year of tape on Nagy. They have tendencies. You know, there's a whole, you know, system of where they break down, where they like, okay, well, he's most likely to do this on this play or on this down and distance or that on this down and distance. And like, you know, the whole algorithm thing of what his tendencies are, there's actual, you know, there's data there now. And is he just being outsmarted and he's at that point where he's like, fuck, like nothing's working and this and that. And does he need to change up his play style? KB, I know you were about to go ahead, man.
Yeah, I wanted to bring something to, you know what I'm saying, to light, because it's something that I was wondering about. I mean, maybe it's me just overthinking it. But we got to remember, man, Matt Nagy only called, what, 6 games before becoming a head coach?
It's a good call.
I mean, should we start looking at the fact that maybe he should actually turn over some of his play calling duties so he can take more of a prevalent role on just coaching the overall team? I mean, you still can be at Mitch's hip pocket and tell him, this is what I'm seeing, this is what I want you to see. But you have a Mark Helfrich that you hired who seems like he would be running the offense that would honestly suit Trubisky better. You look at what he did with Marcus Mariota back in Oregon. I know he took over calling duties from Chip Kelly and took over a head coach, but he was still calling these spread concepts and things of that matter and prioritized running the ball and getting the ball out quick with slants and out routes and in routes, these things that Trubisky should be good at doing. And also the fact that I'm still not understanding, why are we not rolling out? This is what your quarterback is good at.
I love it, KB.
Where is it gone?
I love it. I said it last week. In the preseason, the last two preseason games, Nagy gave up play calling duties. The third week of the preseason in Indy, it was Helfrich. The fourth preseason game, it was Ragone. So not only is he giving play calling duties up, but you now go through two games in the regular season and you look how the offense has looked.
Yeah.
Now did that, you know, is that a factor that, okay, hey, yeah, you know, I'm going to give you guys play calling duties for this week or, you know, whatever the case may be. Is he still trying to find his, you know, machismo or whatever the hell you want to call it? Like, it's a phenomenal point, KB. I know he's the offense, you know, he's got a great offensive mind. We hear it all the time, but is he I wish I had the words, because it's a great point, KB.
What I would say would be, is that really his calling card, is the call plays? I mean, it's short and sweet to the point. Are you a play caller or not, man?
Yeah.
If you're not, if we come out and the offense looks like shit, yet again, against the Redskins defense that is compromised, then the question is, bro, you need to look yourself in the face as a head coach and decide whether or not you're taking on too much responsibility trying to be the offensive coordinator and the head coach. He has to play that pitch.
Do you think it's that, or do you think Mitch just wasn't as far along as Nagy thought heading into the season? So now he may have to dial it back a little bit more. You know what I'm saying?
And that also could be a factor. And the sad shit is, bro, we don't know. We won't know. You know what I'm saying?
We'll never know.
And that's what the hardest part about this whole situation is, man.
I think Nagy thinks he's a play caller, right? I think that they all think that he's a play caller and that he can do this, but I think what's coming into question right now is his scheme. You can't come out and as a head coach slash offensive coordinator and throw the ball 45 fucking times. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? And not put up any points. I mean, touchdown wise, right? You put up 3 fucking points and you threw the ball 45 fucking times. You were playing like you were behind 28 damn points.
And they were down 4. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the next week, you know, you kind of go a little more balanced, but the getting into that end zone has been the struggle. And I don't know. I think everybody's praying for this game, this Washington game, to be a damn just smoke show and to just blow the doors off the Redskins and kind of have everybody relax a little bit and get back into the, you know, to what is Nagy play calling and football. I just think that there's a lot of questions, man, a lot of questions back and forth. Some fucking haters look really fucking smart right now. And, you know, others, I mean, we're 2 games through the season, so we can't say that it's like, oh no, they were just reaching or whatever. We're 2 games through the season and we went up against a Denver team and a Green Bay team that neither were supposed to have a fucking dynamic damn defense, and we're struggling, boys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's move into this. If you guys are all good on that, let's move into this this Washington game, Monday Night Football. We got our boy on the line. He's going to go by Mr. 4-5. He's a radio host for WVAI 101.3 Jams. He's named Live with 4-5, radio personality. Really happy to have you on. He's one of Big Tyler Ellis, one of Gaines' boys. Gaines, unfortunately, ain't with us today. He's out doing his something down in North Carolina. He's currently traveling.
Yep.
But welcome to the show, man. It's great to have you on. How's things this morning?
Things are great, man. Things are great. I'm kind of on my solo daddy duty thing right now, you know. Getting through this college football weekend. You know, I got my wife is in Alabama doing some stuff, so I got my kids running around the house and, you know, just doing that type of stuff. Getting ready for Monday night, man. It's painful. It's painful.
Yeah. All right, man. We want the outsider's perspective. You've seen the first 2 weeks.
Right.
I mean, we've seen some highlights over there in Washington too. You know, specifically McLaurin, I would say, but you know, we'll get into that in a minute. Tell us and tell these Bears fans listening what you've seen from this Bears team thus far this season.
What I've seen from the Bears team is what I've already known. It's a defensive presence. It's not a team where you're just going to come in and get a whole bunch of big splash plays. You're not going to come out there and just, you know, have your pick of the litter. You're just going to have to decide. You're going to have to either we're going to pass or we're going to run. It's going to be extremely hard to do either, but they're not, the Bears aren't going to let you do both. They're extremely talented up front, obviously. Khalil Mack, you know, you got those big guys in the middle, Hicks and those guys, but then they got experienced corners out on the outside and a ball hawk of a safety. So, you know, that being said, it's hard to come in and deal with a team and do what you want to do. You know, the offense hasn't necessarily shown up, but I don't think that's a knock on the talent on the offense as much as I feel like the OC just probably needs to keep it real simple. Like I saw that first Monday, that first game of the season, you know, the fumble right out of the gate, but it was a fumble on a play where it was what, 2 or 3 handoffs in the mix. Like you don't want to start off like that. Just, you know, Mitch Trubisky is a baller. You know, anybody that watches football knows that. Just start off real simple. Let the game come to the team. Don't just do a whole bunch. But scary defense, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's something we've been saying too. We need that progressive build. You know, mm-hmm. Start the game off simple. You know, just it's like you do with any game. Pretty much, you just progressively build that confidence throughout the game, and you know, get the defense back on their heels. But it's something that we think is lacking. And obviously struggling, man. I mean, we've only put up a total of 19 points. We're averaging what, 9.5 points a game. The first 2 weeks.
Yeah. I also think, you know, teams aren't necessarily, for as much as he gets hated on, I think if everyone in the league and all of these, you know, Monday morning QBs and all these sports commentators, be honest, like, people have watched Mitch Trubisky. Like, he's not one of those quarterbacks you just be like, we won't worry about that too much. You know, we'll let them have this. And then, no, like, teams got to prepare for Mitch. Yeah. And I think, you know, last year, you know, you just kind of, it was hard to prepare for him because you really only got whatever week, you know, you have him, whatever body of work he put together the week before, you got that, you go. But now, you know, it's like, oh, no, we got to pay attention to this guy, especially, you know, you put speedy receivers around him. You got a running back who can produce if you're not careful. So, absolutely, I think that there's a good credit. Like, a credit goes a little bit, even though you guys hate him. I mean, I think Green Bay came in afraid of y'all, and they put emphasis on their defense.
Yeah,
they said it. They said it. Their cornerback said it after the game. We came in forcing Mitch to play quarterback, and we knew if we forced him to play quarterback, we could win the game. And that's what they did.
See, the jab was what it was, because of course you guys have that deep rooted Green Bay hatred. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
And I think that was a jab more so than it was really giving y'all credit. I really think like they had to play y'all. Like,
yeah,
they had to play y'all.
It was a tough. It was definitely a tough one to swallow. Knowing, you know, everything that happened in the off season, where we thought this team would be, and whatnot. But turning things over, man, to your Washington Redskins. So I'm a fan of your quarterback, Case Keenum, and you know, I want to get your thoughts on him through, you know, through the first two games of the season, and do you see him? Not necessarily here for the long haul, obviously, with Dwayne Haskins waiting in the wings, but do you see him at least here throughout the season?
I definitely see him here throughout the season, barring any injury.
Yep.
I think he's coming to a situation where he's immediately put behind the eight ball, and a lot of times he's been, I think that's been everywhere he's been, you know what I mean? But for whatever reason, everywhere he goes in there, he gets to work, he wins over the coaches and the team, and he ends up being a starter. Like, he's never gone. The only place he really went to and went to as the starter was the Broncos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everywhere else has kind of been like, all right, well, we'll see. It's, you know, it's your job to earn just like it would be anyone else's. He's in a bad spot because he comes into a team who had a, you know, the perennial Pro Bowler left tackle of our Trent Williams.
Yep.
And all of a sudden Trent's decide, well, I don't want to play. You know, you put him in a situation where, you know, he doesn't know what he has a offense, you know, as far as wide receiver core, he has a wide receiver core. He has no idea what he's going to get from.
Mm-hmm.
No clue. It's not even the same wide receiver core we had last year, with the exception of with Quinn and, you know, Quick, but Quick left. So, I mean, he's just got a bunch of rookie guys. He's like, okay, well, we're going to see what we can do with him. And I think he's doing well. I think everyone is so high up on wanting to see Haskins, they're not giving Keenum a fair shot.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to see Haskins, and that's great, but give Keenum a fair shot. I mean, he came out the first game and threw for 385 yards. Like, that's nothing to turn down your nose at.
No, not at all.
What I will say in fairness, you know, to some of the wearier fans, you know, the situations we've put ourselves in by the end of games, the teams we're playing are protecting a 14, you know, 10 to 14 point lead late in the game. So a lot of his stats are getting padded because they're playing soft coverages. He's hitting 10 to 15 yard passes a pop. And they're like, yeah, look, you can get whatever you want. You can't score two touchdowns in one possession. So there's that. Again, I'm with you. I don't think he's the long-term solution. What has been, but I think he's the, as comfortable as we can get more scenario. Like, this is as comfortable as we can get. Because, I mean, you got to think, last year we started four different QBs.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think
he's doing well.
Yeah, I think he's doing well. I mean, I would have liked to see – I wouldn't put it on Keenum, right? But, well, you guys got – is it O'Connell as your offensive coordinator, right?
Yeah, and that's just – oh, my God.
I mean, we can move in because we're obviously having woes of our own. But right. I mean, week one, you guys came out. You're up 17-0, and then, I mean, you keep slinging the ball around the field, and you didn't really like, you know, kill the clock down with the running. Is that because of do you think is that because of like the offensive line, you know, and not maybe not comfortable with it, or is it just hey, he's got his one trick.
I'm gonna honestly be. I'm gonna just tell you what I think is really bad, poor coaching. Because of that aspect, and a lot of people will say, "Oh, well, it's hard for you sitting at home watching the game." Okay, just because we're not NFL coaches or we're not down on the field, we know football, right? And so what happens is you put a defense out there. Now this is my example on where you start to look at coaching. So like you said, we didn't run the ball. You know, we kind of just gave up on the run game, right? You got a 1,000-yard rusher from last year with a healthy scratch for no reason.
Now
you give him a healthy scratch because you said his north-south running style doesn't fit our offense. It limits our offense.
Yeah.
But you signed Smallwood from Philadelphia, and you said he can help us on special teams, and he runs well between the tackles. Now, stop me if I'm wrong. If you're running between the tackles, that means you're running north and south, right?
Huge contradiction.
That seems to be the going excuse lately, though. Like, oh, the running back doesn't fit the guy's offense.
Well, you can thank Alvin Kamara for that, right? You can thank guys like that because now they want your running back to be a thick wide receiver. So you have that. Then you go to the defensive side of the ball. Either Monte Nicholson just has bonehead moments at the worst parts of the game, or or the defensive call isn't coming through well because you give up pretty much 100 yards and two passes to DeSean Jackson, right? But you got to look at it. It would be easy to say, oh, Josh Norman's getting fried. If you look at the game, he's playing bail technique and he's letting the receiver have inside coverage. I mean, inside, you know, leverage, right? Now, what smart receiver would do that? I mean, what smart DB would do that if he didn't think he had what? Help over the top.
Yeah, over the top. Yeah.
Now, but for whatever reason, Monte decides, you know what? I'm going to take the underneath route, right? Okay, he does that. DeSean over the top. Okay, he does it later on in the game. DeSean over the top. And lo and behold, he does it last Sunday against Dallas to the kid from Ohio State who only has one route in him, which is a deep route. But you look at it, it's like you're taking the underneath route and it's like, dude, just take, you're the safety. You're supposed to be deeper than the deepest guy.
Yeah.
He catches it underneath, fine. We have a better chance of you and I tackling him than this one guy who has a 3 to 5 yard lead on. But you go in the locker room, you come back out, you give up these leads on defense, you don't produce on offense to a point where it's like, what did we talk about in the locker room? We should have just stayed out on the field.
Yeah.
And that's two games in a row that we actually essentially had a lead and we gave up and the adjustments were horrible. Now we can easily go back, okay, well, we lost Jonathan Allen. So now they're running the ball straight up the middle on us, which they weren't doing in the first half. Okay.
Yeah.
We also have Jordan Reed sitting on the sideline who can't help. We also have Trent Williams out. But at the end of the day, we had enough talent to go up, 17-0 and then 21-7. We had enough talent to finish the game.
That's my next question for you, 45, is, seeing Darius Geis, man, get injured again, where as a Redskins fan are you sitting right now? I mean, because – dude was injured in college a little bit. Yep. Then you draft him. He comes out his first year. He misses the whole season. Now here we are. He makes it through the preseason, and down he goes.
Mm-hmm. Man, it's one of those things where it's like you can't help but wonder to exactly maybe Trent is talking about something that he can't control injuries, right? But you got to look like okay. The Washington Redskins for the last 2 or 3 seasons, we have been the injury team.
Yeah.
My motto is everyone has injuries. Washington, we have everybody injured. Like that's what we have. In the last 2 seasons, we've had over 30 to 40 guys.
Yep.
75% or more of them are starters and they're on IR or they're injured for 6 to 8 weeks or more. And that's it. We got 6 guys right now on our team that in total are responsible for $60+ million on our salary cap. 3 of them have not touched the field yet. Guys going down, it's I guess at the end of the day, it's lucky thing we did bring on Smallwood, but now it makes your decision on week 1 look stupid.
Right, exactly.
You have to go back. Yeah. They have to go back. And this is a problem that Jay Gruden keeps having. He shits on the starting guy, right?
Yep.
And you have to go back to him because you shit it on RG. Kirk kind of early in his career got out there and was scared, deer in headlights, really wasn't prepared. Now you have to go back to Rob.
Yep.
But the relationship is already fractured, right? You take AP, who ran for 1,000 yards on an offense that was, who knows what we would have did. Who knows was playing? I might have played quarterback one week if it got so bad. But this man is out there. He runs for 1,000 yards. You tell him you want to give him a healthy scratch. That's a smack in his face. It doesn't matter where he is in his career. I just gave you 1,000 yards.
Bad move on Jay Gruden's part, man. Because you know, you look at AP last year. You know, the guy's been a workhorse his whole career, minus the off the field stuff. You know, to come out and say that about a guy who, as you said, put up 1,000 yards. He's been a multi-thousand yard rusher multiple times. You know, AP could have been like, you know what, man, release me.
We're talking about the same guy who tore his ACL, MCL, and came back the next year and damn near ran for 2,000 yards.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Right. I mean, and just making him a healthy scratch. The dude is, I mean, granted, like you said, he's got some off-the-field shit, right? But to have that veteran leadership in the huddle and to have it on the sidelines, like, involved in the game, you know what I mean? It's something that you're missing.
Which is hilarious because the one off-field thing he has, like, okay, it's the whole, you know, thing with his kid or whatever.
Yeah.
That's really it. You don't see AP this weekend getting into it with some security guard. Hello, Zeke Elliott, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't see him out here beating on nobody's wife, nobody's girl, his own girl wife. You don't see that type of stuff. He's had a issue.
Yeah.
But you don't see a lot of the other stuff you see from a lot of these guys. He's not, oh, let me hold out until I get what I want because I don't want to. You know, it's all about me. No, he sat on the sideline. Yeah. He was supportive, and that's what it is. But this is the thing. Like when I go back to coaching, it's like you have to be smart enough to understand and recognize what you have.
Yep.
And that's not what that's been our biggest issue. We never recognize what we have from coaching to player standpoint. I watched Carlos Rogers not be able to cover himself with his own blanket at night and go become a Pro Bowler in San Fran. Same thing with Ron Clark, right? He was here when we had Sean Taylor here. All of a sudden, he goes to Dallas, becomes this big monster hitter and a heck of a safety. But what? We let Sean McVay go, you know?
Yeah.
We let his name always slips me. His dad coached for us for a little bit, and he was our OC. But we let him go to the Falcons. The funny part is the last three Super Bowls.
Shanahan.
The last three Super Bowls that have been played, two of them had somebody as a head coach that was just a part of our coaching staff in Washington. Yet we still have Gruden, and we're still where we are.
Yeah. I mean, on the whole player thing, man, I asked one of the guys this question last week, but not on the show, just kind of offline. But whatever happened to – remember when coaches used to have to scheme their offense for their players and not the other way around?
Exactly.
It seems like a lot of these coaches are like, well, this guy doesn't fit my system. Well, then you change your fucking system because that's who you have on your team right now.
Which is why Russell Wilson is so successful. When Russell Wilson came into the league, Pete Carroll said, you know what? This is your skill set. This is what you're good at. Okay, fine. This is what we're going to let you do. And that's what worked for him. Oh my God, you know, four seasons and two Super Bowl appearances later, we find out we're doing the right thing, right? We get RG free. Granted, yes, you want him to slide. Of course you do. Just like you want Lamar Jackson to slide. Just like you wanted Michael Vick to slide. Bottom line is, you get a guy. This is his game. Model your offense around him. Nope, we're going to make a racehorse pull a wagon, and then what?
Yeah, exactly.
Then you finally get Kirk firing on all cylinders, right? You know, Mr. He likes that and all that stuff. And what? Now we don't know if we want to keep him or not. We're not really sure. We gave that man almost made $100 million with us in two seasons and walked out the door for nothing.
You're better off though. You can't win in big games.
And listen, true enough, but our whole team can't win in games that we got 14-point lead.
17.
Did Minnesota have a win? Did Minnesota have a win yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do.
We don't.
Yeah.
We got an older version of Kirk Cousins sitting up in the stands with like a whole bunch of metal around his leg that we're paying him millions of dollars for.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
You just got to – it's a lot going on in Washington, man. And as good as a team – you know, as good as we could be, you know, we got a whole lot holding us back that's just outside of our control, you know, at least from a player standpoint. We can't – the players can't go in there and say, hey, you're fired. I'm sure they
would. Hey, so getting back to that McLaurin, whole – go ahead.
Can I throw something in?
Yeah.
Terry McLaurin against Prince Amukamara scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. So,
that
I mean,
the
he.
The smartest thing that happened in the preseason. We didn't sit Terry. We dressed him, but we didn't play him in the preseason because it was like, okay, I see what's happening. I go to Redskins camp every year, and I saw this cat in person, and I talked to him. You know, we had a quick conversation in person. And when I tell you, like, his speed on TV, trust me when I tell you, to see it in person and to see how he runs routes and he does what he does. Like, it puts you to the mind to a lot of the more elite receivers. You know what I mean? So, if given a good situation, given a good QB, he can be special. Amukamara, he's going to need help over the top on that side.
Yeah. Your biggest issue is going to have to have Keenum have time to get it to him. You know what I'm saying?
Which is, therein is the issue. Because I'm going to tell you, for as much as Trent, it hurts not having Trent, man. I'm going to be honest with you. And I know this dude. I've talked to him because he gets his hair cut at the same barbershop as I do. I know his uncle. I know his family. Morgan bothers me against any one of you guys D-lining.
Yeah.
Morgan Moses, he bothers me, man. He bothers me so bad. Like, because you guys have absolute animals on the front line. It's not one of those things where it's like, they have a good pass rush. No. They have a standard pass rush. It's a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody
well, that leads me right
talks
into
about
the
Mac, but... Sorry.
That leads me right into the next thing, man. What do you do? How do you scheme against this defense? And how are you guys putting up points this weekend? You tell us. How do you get after our defense? Because obviously we're I won't say that we're a bunch of homers, even though we probably are. But
we totally are.
Yeah. Of course we think like, oh, there's no way anybody could do this or that or whatever. But what do you see as our weakness?
You're that you guys have the type of defense where the aggression has to be used against you. You're not just gonna, you know, it's hard. You guys are like that heavyweight fight, right? You just got to keep giving body shots and hope that one of them buckles. So everything's gonna have to be quick. It's gonna have to be quick. You do not have time for a whole bunch of five-step drops. You don't have time for a whole bunch of gimmicky plays that take a while to set up. You know, no, we don't have time.
Yeah.
Everything has to be quick. And everything has to be done like with efficiency. You cannot get behind in a down and distance. You can't get behind schedule. You cannot. Because if y'all release the hounds, then it's a whole nother problem. This is a game that's scary for me because I feel horrible about it. I predicted Alex Smith getting hurt. I literally said when we played the Texans, I said, yo, if we're not careful, they're gonna hurt Alex. And sure enough, next thing I know, he's rolling over and his leg is still under eight people. And he's rolling over. I'm like, Jesus. But yeah, that's Chicago defense. You have to be quick. There's no time for a whole bunch of, you know, setup plays. You just have to be quick. We got to make you think. If we can make you guys think without being slow doing it, you know, we got a chance to affect you a certain way. You got a linebacker out there who might be one of the fastest and most aggressive linebackers I've seen in a long time. He reminds me of the guy out in Dallas, Smith. We just have to be quick. It has to be quick. And if we can get you guys thinking and backed up off us a little bit instead of like, hey, let's not just go running in there, then things might slow down for us and we might be able to get some offense going consistently. But if I had to say, I say things are going to have to be quick. We don't have a lot of time. We don't. Not with you guys.
I think that's the thing that – I think that's the thing that we've kind of mentioned before, like our aggressiveness, sometimes that screen game or that quick slant, you know, those just kind of the quick game could be dangerous, especially when we got Pagano saying, you know, at the beginning of the season saying how everybody needs to go this way. And as long as you got these guys in the backfield, you know, you're going to have a good day. But, you know, that those screen games, that underneath game could kill us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see this one. I've always been like the Bears. My one thing with the Bears is we've always played. I get the whole NFL is that way, but we play to our opponent's potential. We could go up against a New England team last year and be 1 yard away from ending the game with a bomb to Kevin White, you know, and then we can go against a fucking, a 1-5 Miami team and get
smoked,
get our asses kicked, you know? So I think it's just, we just play to the potential of our opponents, and besides the Tampa Bay game, we never really blow the doors off of anybody.
And that's how we are. We don't even play to our expectations. We pretty much are the underachiever team. Like, and this is bad for us because we don't perform well on Monday night, no matter who the QB was or has been.
Yeah.
We don't do well on Monday night. I think the last time we did well on Monday night, unless that was a Sunday night, I'm trying to think. I got to go on my mental Rolodex. Was the night we played Minnesota on Monday night, and RG took off with that like super long run.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep.
I believe that probably was it, man. Like, that probably was it.
Yeah, but that was like his last run where, pieces of his knee were on the 35, on the 40.
Because I believe the last week is when he got, the next week, I believe, or the week after is when he got hurt with the rate against the
Raiders. Yeah.
Another issue I have with Washington as a fan, I'm not a fan of our defense. I've never been a fan of the 3-4 defense. Never. Ever, ever. Ever. Unless Wade Phillips is coaching it, I've never been a fan of the 3-4 defense. I don't like it. And the reason I don't like it is you can look at the game. Look at the game we played against Philly, right? Allen goes down. We put Tim Settlin, who's not as strong up front, and now what are they doing? Running up the middle. We got no push. No push. We got after Dak maybe twice. We got after Wentz maybe three times, and they all just kind of casually ran out the pocket. It's not like, oh, I got to make a quick decision. They didn't even have to throw the ball away. Like, they just had to move about 5 or 6 yards and make a play. That's because you're putting these big guys in these speed situations, and it hurts.
Yeah, I got one last question before we let you go, 45. And that question revolves around your head coach, Jay Gruden. You know, we've heard, before the season started, he's a guy on the hot seat. Mm-hmm. I just want to get your thoughts on, is there any way this guy can save his job this season? Because to me, outsider looking in, I don't see it, but I'd love to get your thoughts, man.
Honestly, I believe this is that season where if he goes to the playoffs and even wins a playoff game, then that might save his job. Because for whatever reason, Snyder and them guys like him.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. And they've given him everything he wanted. Okay, you don't want Rob, you want Kirk? Fine. Okay, you don't want Kirk? We'll do something else. Fine. Like, he's been given everything he wants.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to the fact his nephew is a strength and conditioning coach, right? So, for whatever reason, they like Gruden up there. But I think we've gotten to where you're going to have to get to the playoffs and win a playoff game. This man is 31 and or 30 something and 46 with one playoff appearance, one divisional title, and a whole bunch of really, really bad, poor losses that you can't really look at anyone else but the coach. Like, we can't keep affording to look at just the players. Oh, well, he didn't make a good throw here. You know, this guy didn't read this well. No, I think the only way he saves his job, and it's a might, is if we make the playoffs and we win a game. We're going to have to get to the divisionals for him to keep his job. And it sucks because I'm a fan. I'm not going to go as far as, oh, tank to get rid of Gruden. I'm not with that. I want to win. I don't care.
Right.
But I think that's the only way he saves his job. We get to the divisionals and the playoffs. If not, I think he's out of there. I'm hoping he's out of there.
Yeah, you're ready for fresh blood, man.
Bro, I'm ready for fresh blood. I need everybody gone. I need all I really want to keep. All I really want to keep is the O-line coach. I promise you. Dustin can go. All of them can go. Like, our D-line coach, like, you couldn't coach D-line, O-line, or anybody in San Fran. I think that's what's annoying me about the situation, honestly. Like, we get these coaches who, what are they hanging their hats on? We get Gruden, and he was the quarterback coach or OC in Cincinnati. What did you do? They didn't even win a playoff game until after you were gone.
Yeah, I mean, and even I don't think John Gruden's that great. I mean, Gruden walked into a Tony Dungy Tampa Bay Super Bowl team, and he's been living off of that ever since. And I mean, otherwise he's a character. He's a good character.
It's hard to go against it when you got one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when you got one, it's hard to go against it. And you look at it, at least if nothing else, I can look at this man and be like, you know what? He ain't soft. Like, he's not just going to let his players act up. Like, he ain't going to do it. It'll go for a second. But after a while, it's like when he released that conversation between he and Antonio Brown, at the end of the conversation, like, look, can we just cut the shit and play football? Please. Like, can we just cut the shit and play football? I can respect that. Because what I don't feel like is our players have, I don't think they respect our coach. Like, I look at, you know, my apps and I look at it's a whole lot of dancing and giggling and fun having in practice. And I'm all for that. I love football. I breathe it. You know what I mean? But at some point you gotta wonder, right? Are they following you? Are they following? We know Belichick guys are gonna do it exactly what he says. You know, whatever's going on.
Yeah. And if they don't, they're walking out the door. Like,
they're walking out the door. Yeah. They're walking out the door. So something's gotta give. But I think he only saves his job if we go divisionals, man. Really do.
All right, brother, before we get you out of here, let me get give us your game prediction, final score prediction, and then hit any plugs or anything you want to promote or plug, man, just fire away.
All right, it's a trap game for the Bears, so I'm going to go 17-14 Washington. 17-14 Washington. Listen, we can score points, we just can't keep y'all from doing it. So I'm going to go 17-14 Washington. You know, you guys can go to the TuneIn app, go to WVAI 101.3 Jams. I'm on every Saturday morning from 8 to 12, the Live Before 5 show. More importantly than all that, I want to thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it. It was awesome. I've been excited since Ty told me about it. You know, I've been listening to you guys' podcast since he first started getting on it. He was super excited when he got it. So I'm just really honored, and I appreciate the opportunity to chop it up with you guys, man. And I hope we can do it again.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, good luck this week. Hopefully we all get out of there without without anything drastically happening.
Get out of there
teams.
With everybody we came with, or at least anybody that matters.
Yeah, man. Exactly, man.
We already don't have Jordan playing, so. Yeah. You guys have a good one, man. Thank you so much.
Take care, man.
I appreciate it, man.
All right, peace.
Yo, so, I mean, dude's pretty knowledgeable, huh? He knows his shit.
Man.
I mean,
knows his shit. Hell yeah. You wouldn't expect anything less from Gaines, man. He knows.
Right. If he's Gaines' boy, he's got to know something.
Yeah.
I talks more Gaines, which is a lot.
I didn't even hear what you said, KB. What'd you say?
I said, I think he talks more than Gaines, bro. I said, that's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you can feel the energy. Imagine having those two in a room together. Jeez. But yeah, man, I mean, he's got a lot of good perspectives and you know, he thinks it's a trap game for the Bears, which obviously all of us would fucking hate to see, right? On my side of it all, right? And I know I was going to get into it, but we kind of moved past it for a second. But with the minimal amount of pressure that Washington has been getting this season, I think this is the perfect bounce back game for Mitch. I think it's a perfect primetime opponent for him to go from, you know, that first primetime game against Green Bay, the shit show that was, and then bounce back into this. And granted, with everybody talking all this shit on Mitch and whatever, this, even though people have been saying like how, you know, he's just not a good quarterback or that, even in the games last year that we lost, like that opening game against Green Bay, we seen him come out and still do a great fucking job. But it's something that we haven't really seen so far yet. We're going to get we're going to get John Santucci in here in a minute for a little fantasy football stuff. But let me get your guys' thoughts on Washington and the stuff that 45 was saying.
I would just say that just like he was saying, Case Keenum, I mean, he's a pretty good quarterback, but you get our defense coming after him and he's going to make mistakes. I think that's what we're going to have to lean on. Until I see the offense put it together, I don't have high hopes for it. Although, like I said, for my fantasy team, I would love to see it all come together this Monday. But I think we're going to lean on defense and make Case Keenum beat us. I mean, as long as we can shut down the running game and force him to try to make plays, I believe in our team.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's something that we drastically need. We need this bounce back game, man. I mean, I know after winning last week, it was a huge relief. You could see the celebration and the excitement of coming down there and doing it. I think that put a lot of confidence back in this team. But I think, like they used to say, you got to stack them wins. You got to keep things going. Yeah. I think this is a good time to do it, and then keep moving on from there. I guess it could be a trap game, but there's a couple things that we need to shut down, right? And then from there, I think this offensive line of Washington is just too depleted for us, for our defense.
That's a big thing, yeah.
And I don't know how they're going to protect Keenum. Granted, it is a team. He's obviously seen our defense, but I just think that they're just a little too depleted, and we're about to get after it. Let's move into this little fantasy football thing. We got half of the fantasy football goon in the house. We got Mr. John Santucci here with some of his little fantasy stuff. Joe's out having a party. He's out at a concert, Pooch. I think. Mr. Santucci, welcome back, brother. What's going on, man?
Hello, man.
What's up, Tooch?
Bobby, you seeing all the good, nice mama signs out there.
Oh, yeah, man. We're bouncing around Japan and doing all the little castles. And, I'm going to go to – I was planning on going to Hiroshima today, but it's pretty shitty out. We got some horrible rain coming through, so, I'm not going to – not going to do that, but I'll eventually get there and send you all some pictures and get that thing going. Nice. John, let's start this thing out. I know Joe's at a concert right now, but I think you got some of his input anyway. And then yes, yours, sir. And we'll go from there, man. Let's I guess we could start with the must starts for the week. So who do you got as a must start for this week in that fantasy football game?
Man, yeah, you got to get your guys. Anybody you got in Kansas City versus Baltimore at the over-under of 55 points. Now, the Kansas City running game, it's a little up in the air with injuries of both Damian Williams and LeSean McCoy. So we don't know who they're – Williams did not even practice. So LeSean McCoy is questionable. They got a couple other guys, Darrell Williams – and a rookie, Darwin Thompson. So Darwin Thompson might be a sneaky play. And, of course, both quarterbacks going to be trying to outdo themselves. So you got Travis Kelce. He's also a little bit banged up. Mark Andrews are two really good tight ends. And then all the receivers. It's going to be a great game to watch, too. So Joe.
Yeah, we're good.
Joe likes Emmanuel Sanders. That's the pick he wanted to give. He's at some kind of concert tonight. And then me, of course, I love the air raid offense. So my pick's going to be Larry Fitzgerald. He's just been lighting it up.
Okay. Old Larry, still hanging around, man. Who would have thought that this dude, he's been in the league, 19 years, 18 years? I don't know what it was.
Tim Duncan of the NFL.
Yeah,
close to beating the record for most receptions in a career.
Yeah, I mean, that's just crazy. That many years in the league and this dude is still a must start in fantasy. You know what I'm saying? Like, just ridiculous.
He's a baller, without a doubt, fellas. I mean, you see some of the catches he's made the last couple weeks, man. Just phenomenal that he's still doing it.
That's right. Yeah. All right, dudes, give us – who's your sits? Who's some guys that have been balling out, but you're like, I don't know about this week. It might not be the right matchup for him. Who do you got as a must-sit or, as a, maybe think about, sitting this guy down if you got somebody else who's behind him?
Well, I'm going to sit Adrian Peterson and Chris Thompson against the Bears. They've been shutting down the run real well. The Packers also have been shutting down the run, so I'm going to shut down the Denver running backs too for this week. And that's my sits so far. Of course, we got a lot of questions too. Bobby, with Ben Roethlisberger and Drew Brees out, we're looking at Teddy Bridgewater and Mason Rudolph. If you have to start one of these guys, you're in trouble. But I like Mason Rudolph better than the other guy. But
well, let's not laugh too hard about this, Tooch, because I fucking was telling the guys earlier. My fantasy team,
snake bitten.
My fantasy team for work, I literally want to cut every player just because I don't want to jinx these dudes anymore. I had Drew Brees as my starting quarterback. Roethlisberger was my backup quarterback. I had Tariq Hill. I had Hunter Henry.
Oh my God.
And then I had a running back too that went down. And I was I've literally lost like 6-7 dudes to like season ending fucking injuries. And I'm like, I just want to cut the rest of my team because I feel bad for the players that I draft. Because I don't want anybody else getting hurt.
Your head would be chopped off if you were
in the team. For Aaron Rodgers.
your head would be rolling.
Who just told me to try to sign Aaron Rodgers?
I did.
Russ has not been playing that well. I'm telling you, I don't think he's had the 300-yard game yet. So not living up to his promise. Now, if you drafted Lamar Jackson, we talked about it on Fantasy Football Goon, but I was trying to get him in the 8th round. But I'm telling you, if you drafted that kid in the 4th or 5th round, you're awful happy. He's the number one leading scorer in fantasy football.
I know.
I'm gonna try and draft him as a second quarterback, but man, you're awful happy if he's your first quarterback.
Well, if he was your second, he's definitely your first now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. The thing about Lamar, dude, is he's never been a thrower. Even down here at Louisville, it was just run around and try to make something happen. And then this year, all of a sudden, he knows how to throw the damn ball.
Do you see this sustaining, Tooch? Do you see him carrying this on throughout the season, or is he just kind of hot right now?
Well, he's very hot right now. They haven't played, they've played some cupcakes.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It's like,
Miami and Arizona, I think.
That division is three cupcakes with Baltimore.
Yeah.
He's going to have some success, Batch.
Good point.
But,
we
got a big game Monday night. I know y'all have been talking about it, but this game is bigger than its billing because of the narrative around Mitch. The offensive line has been terrible. The coaching staff coaching decisions have been questionable. Now, to me, when I watch these past two games, it looks like Mitch Trubisky has been getting different coaching from different guys. Maybe he's getting something different from Nagy and Helfrich and Ragone.
Right.
It looks a little confused out there. He's got to make something happen Monday night. The pressure is going to be high. Whew. I mean, I hate to think of what would happen if Mitch bombs on Monday night, guys.
I know, especially like we were just saying, man, right before you came on, especially against this defense that doesn't really get any pressure. And then the 0-2 Washington team, who they've put up more points in one fucking game than we have all season.
Yeah.
Or in both their games. But either way, I mean, it's this should be a game where, you kind of get that confidence running again and you get your feet back under you and, can get downfield. At a time like this in the season, there's not a better game for us to have. And basically being the primetime game to just go ahead and prove yourself again and, show people that your team is a threat. But then on the flip side of it, if he comes out and lays a fucking egg again, well, now it's just national media attention saying how bad, Trubisky is and everything in that regard, man. So it's definitely, it's a game that's going to provide a lot of input as soon as it's over. It's either going to be a shit show or it's going to be, here are the Bears again.
Yeah, now the first two games of the Bears looked like preseason games to me. They weren't ready.
Right?
I'm a big proponent. You got to play in the preseason or come out and not know what you're doing. They didn't look like they played at all in the preseason. I mean, you know, reps only go so far. You know,
I agree, Tooch.
Yeah, it's just this is the second season in a row. You know, we dropped the opening game to the Packers of all teams.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I'm not sure I'm entirely behind Coach Matt Nagy yet. I know he won Coach of the Year last year, but I got to see a little bit more out of the coach, too, guys.
Were you listening this whole time, Tooch? Because you're echoing everything we said earlier on in the show, brother.
Recapping the first half.
I actually just got home. I was I took the girls to the zoo, Bobby. Out here, as you know, I just moved to the Des Moines area. Got a new job. So
yeah,
I'm kind of like AC. I'm looking for the Bears games now. I'm not in the Chicago area, so I got to. Well, of course, we'll have it Monday night. But you know, I got a Hulu Live TV. If I don't, there's a bar right outside my place here in West Des Moines. I can just walk. I cut through the fence, Bobby. Cut through the fence. Go to the sports bar here.
A little fucking Tooch tunnel.
Yeah, getting yourself over through the there's two spots where the fence fell down. I could sneak through.
Yeah, just stumble back. Yeah, well, I definitely feel your pain, man. I'm on the AFN network over here, the Armed Forces Network, and I mean, I'm glad it's a primetime games. Obviously, we're gonna get them, but specifically being a night game, I think the game starts at like 9 o'clock in the morning here, which is so much better than me waking up at fucking 2 o'clock in the morning to watch a football game. But you know, I'm gonna do it. So either way, I set the alarms, pop up at like 2:30, and start watching some football, and then suffer the rest of the day because I'm just fucking beat. But let's roll it. Well, I mean, I guess me not talking about sleep, but, you know, not getting sleep. Why don't you give us some sleepers? Who's the sleepers for this week? Who do you got that you think is going to come out? And, you know, maybe some guys that are sitting on the waiver wire, or maybe guys that are, you know, just on a deep team or deep league sitting on the bench that they need to get in the game this week.
Well, Joe's got one. He says start Peyton Barber versus the Giants, who's actually looked pretty good.
Okay.
And, you know, during the beginning of the season, Peyton Barber usually does some stuff, then, you know, tapers off the rest of the season. But my guy I like is Matt Breida. He's on the 49ers, and last week averaged 10 yards a carry. I know he got his touchdowns vultured, but he's got a juicy matchup against the Steelers.
Yeah.
It should be a pretty high-scoring game, I think. I don't know. We'll see how the Steelers' offense does. But they moved Juju Smith-Schuster back to the slot. That should help him out. That's where he thrived last year.
Yeah.
That, and then you want to watch this kid against the Bears. This is a slot receiver, and this kid is super fast. His name's Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, and we were just talking about him.
If he gets by, you better kiss it goodbye because he's going to take it all the way to the house. So somebody's got to be checking him at the line of scrimmage. Now, you know, the safety over the top. So that's a couple sleepers there. Let's see. Daily fantasy. Man, if you want to be able to afford someone like Mahomes or Jackson, you know, you want to get the running backs like Matt Breida, and another one would be Frank Gore. Just coming in now that Devin Singletary is injured. That guy just keeps rolling. A good quarterback if you'd rather play, you know, Christian McCaffrey or some of the other higher running backs. Josh Allen, Buffalo, he's could have a really big game here. He's got a juicy matchup, too. I think he's playing the Giants. He's playing the Giants. Of course, the Patriots then are going.
Well, you got Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's playing the Giants.
So Tampa Bay is playing the Giants, and Buffalo is – where is Buffalo? I know he's got a good matchup. Sorry, I don't have my computer in front of me. I'm on my phone. But the Patriots have got the Jets.
Cincinnati is Buffalo.
Talk about three cupcakes in that division, too. Man, know, Buffalo is not terrible, but, you know, the Jets in Miami, they're going to be fighting for that number one draft pick. Tom Brady might be a sneaky play, you know?
Yep. All right, so, hey, I know Joe just put to start T.J. Hockenson, but so I made this – I made this move yesterday. He's got Hockenson as one of his sleepers, but I actually put Disley, Will Disley from Seattle, the tight end in, and I sat Hockenson. So he, but you know, maybe he's making me second guess myself, but I got Seattle's Disley going up against the Saints over Hockenson going up against the Eagles.
Yeah, I love the Disley. Kids, he doesn't look like a player at all. He just looks like some blocky fat dude out there running.
Yeah, like a fucking lumberjack.
Yeah.
He just catches touchdowns, man. It's crazy. But the Bills are home against the Bengals. The Bengals, they can't tackle anybody, Bobby.
So, yeah.
You know, Frank Gore, you may have to see 100 yards and a touchdown. So I like that for Daly. And then, like I said, the Patriots, too. With Brady and some of them receivers out there should have a good day against the Jets.
Yeah,
I got one
for you,
Tooch. Yeah, not in daily fantasy, but so you know, Bobby just brought up Will Disley, T.J. Hockenson. I've got George Kittle and T.J. Hockenson. I got no flex spot, so I got to play one or the other. Man. You got Kittle facing the Steelers. Obviously, we talked about Hockenson facing the Eagles. What's my best option?
I love Kittle. I mean, he's just a step away from breaking out.
Yeah.
He had two touchdowns called back the first week. He'd been having a monster season so far.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm rolling with Kittle against the Steelers. Hockenson, I'm not sold on yet. He had one great game, then disappeared in the second game.
Yep.
I've got to see it a little bit more from him, but Joe likes him this week, so.
And then I had one more, Tooch. Latavius Murray in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Is he hurt? And I'm not seeing it because I'm seeing like almost 12,000 people have dropped him in my Yahoo league.
He's a little banged up, but he should play. I don't think he's not playing. I think when Drew Brees went out, you know, he hasn't been getting the ball. At least they figure they're gonna. I still have him on one of my teams. I've dropped him too many times to know that eventually he'll come out and score. You know, as a backup, he's not bad. Anything happens to Kamara. I don't know if he's injured. I haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's out for the season, I don't think he's out for the season. I know he's a little banged up.
Okay.
But let's see. He's still
see him as healthy, but I have this alert that, you know, 11,978 teams have dropped him. And I'm like, wait a minute, they're going to need to run the ball, aren't they?
Yeah, I'll have to get back to the ball and tweak something when I find out. I think they're at Seattle, I think, right?
Yeah. So that could be why. I mean –
and he rushed for 5 times for 7 yards last week. But
yeah, I don't have him as a starter, but if, you know, David Johnson or Mark Ingram go down, then, you know, I'd need to thrust him into duty there.
Yeah, I love Mark Ingram this week against the Chiefs. I think Baltimore's going to try and establish that run game, keep Patrick Mahomes off the field.
Sure.
So they're going to feed Mark Ingram. I love that matchup.
Awesome.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's some good matchups. I was just messing with my roster, but I started what's his name? I ended up putting Jones in from the Giants for his first start. And this is my broken and busted league. I took Jimmy Garoppolo. I took Jimmy Garoppolo out, who was my starter because I lost Roethlisberger and fucking Breeze. So man, I took Garoppolo
out. I love Jimmy
G
this week, man. That's going to be a high-scoring game.
See, I was going off of the hype that is Jones and them trying to come out. And, you know, I mean, he's going up against Tampa Bay. But Garoppolo is projected for more. But I was like, screw it. Let me flip these two and see what happens here.
Yeah. Tampa Bay's defense isn't terrible. They're not great, but – you know, the Steelers haven't stopped anybody.
Yeah, you're going to make me go back and change it again.
They just traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick, though, so they have a little bit improved in the secondary, but they were awful.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. All right, brother. Anything else you got? Any other little pieces you want to throw in? Or obviously plug the fantasy football goon in the show. Yeah. Anything else you got before we get you out of here and we wrap this thing up?
Nope. Just want to say go Bears and thanks for having me on.
All right, brother. Appreciate you joining us.
Later, Chooch. Chooch.
Anytime, fellas.
All right, later, bro.
All right, man.
All right, boys. So that wraps up the fantasy section. Let's kick it around the room real quick. We'll do any you know, score predictions we guys got, and you know, any other little things you want to throw in. Oh shit, we still have to do the raffle. We have to give away this jersey for Max Sack.
Jesus.
All right. Well, shit. Let's get to that right now. Hold on. Let me open up a random number generator here. So we have. Sorry, I should have probably been ready for this. I almost forgot all about it.
Out of 16, 18,
20, 20. So we have 221 entries. So 221 entries. So we're going to do a random number generator from 1 to 221. And then 1 to 221. Boom. All right, let me count down the list here. Find this number. We are going with the winner. Drum roll. Can I get a drum roll? The winner of the of the Mac jersey is Mrs. Joyce Hutchins. Whee! At Joyce Hutchins 3. Yeah, she has won delicious. The Mac jersey. I will get it sent out to her. Obviously we'll DM her or we'll put it out. You know what? Let's wait. Let's put it out on Twitter during the game. So we'll just announce. Yeah, we'll play this game the right way. Let's say that, you know, we'll do a little promo saying that the winner's announced during the show, and then we'll hit her up later about it. But congratulations, Mrs. Joyce Hutchins. Let me go to her Twitter page real quick. we have Joyce Hutchins. She's a teacher, educator, journalist, justice advocate, and author of How a Pro See One Justice, The Story of My Race Discrimination Lawsuit Victory Against the Chicago Board of Education. So she is definitely a teacher. She, obviously, let's see here, journalist, justice advocate. But yeah, she's from Chicago, well, currently living in Chicago, and obviously a Bears fan, as I was saying. But congratulations to Joyce, and her DMs are open. So I will send her a message here shortly. And congratulations to you. And then Barfly, stick around because we're going to have some other stuff to give away and, things to hand out to everybody here in some little prize giveaways.
Speaking of which, Bobby, that means we all got to pony up a little bit of dough for Khalil's first sack, and
we do
make our little badge of honor contribution.
Correct. So we need to find. So I guess we can talk about this off air, but we got to find out which one we're going to go to, unless we just do different ones all the time. But we'll Venmo some money. Or something into one fund and then just donate from that if you guys are all on board.
Sounds good, man.
Hell yeah. All right, so let's kick it around. Let's kick it around the room and close this thing out. We'll start with KB. Let me get your score prediction. Give me your score prediction, any shout outs, and and then we'll roll from there.
So I'm gonna say 17-10 Bears. I say we do enough. I believe Trubisky gets 2 touchdowns. One goes to Montgomery through the air. Shout outs, man. Like I said, man, shout out to you boys, man. Always. It's always a blast getting on here talking football with you guys, talking Bears with y'all, man. Shout out to all these organizations that are doing all these wonderful things for people in need all together, man, because everybody needs a little help. And it takes nothing out of your day just to help somebody in any kind of way that you can. So shout out to you boys, man. Shout out to the bar room, and that's it.
Hell yeah. You got any predediction you want to make, like you know, I forget exactly what it's called. I can't think of it right now. But you got something that, you know, it's just a, maybe a hot take prediction that you want to feed?
Hot take. Let's see.
Like a bold prediction?
I think, right,
yeah, bold prediction.
I'm going to say, man, bold prediction would be me saying Trubisky has the fucking Tampa Bay Buccaneers game again on the Redskins, but that doesn't fall into the 17-10 prediction.
Man, at this point, Trubisky having them two touchdowns is bold.
Right. Oh, fuck.
Bold prediction. I say David Montgomery rushes for over 150.
Okay. All right, I'll take that. I know I kind of put you on the spot there. AC, let's come over to you and your bold prediction of two touchdowns.
Well, hey, after talking to that dude earlier, I'm kind of worried about this game now. But I think the Bears are going to win at the end of the day because I'm a homer. So I'm going to say Bears 20 and Washington 17. We win with a last-second field goal again from Mr. De Niro. And my bold prediction. Hey, it ain't no thing. He's got 2 days. He's good. My bold prediction is that the Bears will have their first pick six of the season on Monday night. I'm going to keep saying it until it happens. It's going to happen eventually.
All right, any shout-outs you want to hit?
I just want to say shout-out to the Bears fucking barroom, the best content.
Bears fucking barroom!
In my humble opinion, I think we have the best content across. I listen to a bunch of podcasts, and I just think the barroom puts out the best. And part of that's because you have, you know, the GOAT myself, but, you know, everybody else does. Yeah. Everybody else does some good shit, too.
Go air, baby.
But, yeah. Shout out to Barflies, man. I love chatting with y'all, man. I missed last week and I hated it. And I'm glad I was able to come back on this week and see my therapist and get some shit off my chest. I love that.
Hell yeah, man. Well done. Well done. All right, Mr. Badgley, go ahead. What you got? Little bold prediction, score prediction, and then any shout outs you got.
Man, I gave a bold prediction in the preseason. I'm done with that shit. My Roy Robinson Harris fucking, I'm done with that.
Roy, that shit sunk.
Yeah, man. I appreciate him though, man. He's a baller. I don't know. Score prediction, man. This offense has me nervous. I really hope Mitch can come out, put something together here with the help of his head coach. I'm going to go 24-10 Bears. I definitely think David Montgomery has a big game, and Mitch will get his first tutty. I don't know, man. I don't know. Bold prediction, man. I'm going to say Roquan Smith has 2 sacks. So I'll go with that. Shout outs, man. I got to get some shout outs out, man. I got some fellas in our Bears Den chat on Twitter that have been pointing some badge of honors in my direction. So George Bayless, Ryan Cox, appreciate you guys, man, sending stuff to me. You know, life gets busy and having to go out and search for stuff gets a little difficult, you know, when you're working and doing all sorts of other stuff. And so I appreciate everybody that reaches out and shares stuff with me. Heidi Zimmerman, can't thank you enough. Jamie Dragani, the ball girl, killing it as always. Yeah. Guys, if you haven't checked her out yet, you got to check her out. It's the_ball_girl on Twitter. Check out the work she's doing. If you've got a child or whoever, a coach in your life, man, check her out. I got to thank Eldo, Shane, Phil, Danny Shimon, Dan Aguirre, Joey Two Scoops, Tooch, Gaines, AC, KB Cars, and my man, Bobby motherfucking Bombs. This dude, man,
boom.
13 hours ahead of us, fucking busting shit up over in Japan. This motherfucker's my dude for life, and this shit doesn't happen without him. So, Bobby, man, appreciate you, bro.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, man, I mean, it sucks. I'm just the whole fucking – I always forget what time it is with you guys. I mean, it should be pretty easy. You know what I mean? But this whole time thing still got me jacked up. Like,
dude, I was texting you at 2 a.m. the other day. I forget it too.
Yeah, fuck, Carrie forgets it too. She fucking calls me at like 3 a.m. pissing me off all the time. All right, so for me, man, I'm going to go with score prediction. I'm going to go with 20-7 Bears. Bold prediction. I'm going to say I'm going to go 20-7 Bears. And can you hear me? Am I good?
Yeah,
and
good.
All right. And I'm going to go bold prediction. I'm going to say Trey Burton leads the team in receiving yards. Ooh, and that's going to be my bold one. I think Trey's come out. He's going to put the rest, all the doubters and all the question marks so far this year. And then shout outs, of course, man. Everybody in the bar room. I mean, Badge said it perfectly. He ran down the list, so I'm not going to play repeater. But everybody who's messaging me on the side or making sure everything's okay and this and that and checking in on me, I appreciate you guys. I know I've been a little away from Twitter and all that recently, but I think it's like the time difference. When I'm on, you guys are all in the, you know, sleep. Been fucking 2 a.m. over there, but you know, just the whole everybody in the bar room, and I know, you know, guys are always there for support no matter what's needed, man. And you know, let's get this thing going this week. Let's get back on track, man. Let's get, you know, let's get our happy fucking feet under us. Let's, you know, we got to get to this 2-1 here. It's a perfect bounce back game, I think. Which on the other hand makes it a perfect trap game, but let's get this thing going, man. You know, everybody in the bar room, check out, you know, The Tape Never Lies on that YouTube channel. You got Fantasy Football Goon. You got Shy Fans in the Stands. You got fucking Danny Shimon and Badge killing it with the draft shit. I mean, that's just awesome, man. And you know, Mike North Advantage, make that money, get in there, start betting. I mean, there's just so much stuff to cover, like Buffon 55. John's always killing it, man. So there's so much stuff to cover and so much things that people, you know, you can basically listen for fucking a full day and not have the whole week's stuff. And you know, we got a little message earlier from the Godfather, Mr. Gandia, and in the in the last 30 days we're at 30,000 downloads.
Yeah, man.
Boom. So boom. Yep. So I mean, we just expect this thing to keep on climbing and keep moving throughout the season. Obviously, the Bears putting wins under their belt would definitely help out. So let's hope we can stack a couple wins here and keep this thing going. And of course, a special thanks to our guest, even though he's a Washington fan. I mean, you know, dude came on and killed it. Mr. 45. Check him out. You know, if you're up in the Virginia area, it's WVAI 101.3 Jams Live 45. So check him out. Get over there, you know, and let's just support it. Support everybody, man. It's the way to do things. And fellas, I mean, if we got nothing else, we'll just end it like we always do with that big bear down.
Bear down.
Bear down.
Bear down, baby.